This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Wisconsin voters went to the polls yesterday to elect a new justice to serve a 10-year term on the state Supreme Court.
And like so many races in our state's recent political history, this one appears to be too close to call and headed for a likely recount, with Brian Hagedorn holding a narrow lead at this point. Political analyst Mordecai Lee joins us on the line. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Mitch.
So on first blush, is it fair to say this is the latest evidence of a rural-urban voter divide in this state?
You know, when you look at a map, I think that's a fair conclusion. But if I were to try to give a theme to the results, I'd say that if last year was the blue wave, and if people were wondering if the blue wave is still existing this year, I'd say the blue wave is still existing, but a red wave came out of nowhere and really sort of checkmated the blue wave. And so if it's true that conservative voters are re-energized, then that really changes the political picture.
About 1.2 million people voted in this election, which is low for the number of registered voters. But, you know, this was an off-year spring election. How much can you read into results from an election that is, both far away from other major races and also has, relatively low voter turnout?
Mitch, I think you're really focusing on the right detail, because this was an astonishing turnout when you look at sort of previous record. In the previous Supreme Court races, when there was about 700,000, 800,000 people running, the de facto Republican always won. Last year, when there was 1 million people voting, the de facto Democrat won. So here we are with 1.2 million. The only race that's similar to that, you'd have to go back to 2011, the Kloppenburg-Prosser race, which was sort of a referendum on Act 10. That was 1.5 million people, and that was won in a squeaker by the de facto Republican. So I think there's sort of a sweet spot for Republicans and Democrats. Low turnout and very high turnout is good for the right, and medium turnout, about 1 million votes, is good for the left.
It is technically a nonpartisan race. I don't know that we saw too many leading politicians sticking their necks out in this. How does the nature of campaigning in a race like this play into how people vote?
Well, I think politics has become television advertising. Of course, they have get-out-the-vote efforts. Of course, they have volunteers making phone calls. But it's television that reaches people, especially when you're going to voters who usually don't vote in this kind of an election. So I'd say the last 200,000 voters were really the ones who were touched by television. And if I had to do a quick postmortem, I think those attack ads in the last week or two the candidate on the right were really powerful, and that the candidate on the left probably made a decision not to pop back with an equally strong, even if misleading, kind of advertising. You know, Bill Clinton used to have a principle that if somebody pops you, you have to pop them back. And that came true when John Kerry was running against President George W. Bush. Kerry wanted to run a positive race. Bush and his allies ran a very negative race, like Swiss voting. And I thought the lesson was learned. You have to respond to an attack with an equal attack.
So I feel like we were talking about potential recounts just a few months ago. But as of this conversation we're having right now, about 5,500 votes separate the two candidates. It does not trigger an automatic recount, but it is close enough that the Neubauer campaign could call for one if they pay for it. How would a campaign go about making that decision?
Well, I think it's relatively easy. If you have to pay for it, can you raise the money? You know, it's so interesting that it used to be at a much different threshold for an automatic recount. I think it was at 0.5%. And that was what happened in the Kloppenburg-Prosser race. Kloppenburg did not have to pay for it. And then, if I recall correctly, the Republican legislature lowered that to 25% because they didn't like the recount that happened after the presidential race that was paid for by the Green Party. So this is now turning out sort of in their favor as a way of putting a burden on the losing candidate to have to pay for it. I'm guessing that we're not going to see much change between the unofficial results and what's called the canvas. That's the official report. And I'm also guessing we're not going to see much change when it comes to a recount. But nonetheless, it would be obvious that Neubauer would want to have a recount, if only so that her supporters would not feel they had been cheated out of a win.
Mordecai Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
Mordecai Lee is a professor emeritus in the UW-Milwaukee School of Continuing Education and a former member of the Wisconsin Legislature. And you can find more coverage of the state Supreme Court at WUWM.com.